Glad that you're here this morning. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you. And let me just take a couple of minutes here. I'm going to do just a few things I'd like to talk about before I get actually down to the message. First of all, last night I had the opportunity to go to an amazing event with some awesome friends from here at Christ Church. And I would just like to honor that Judy and Louis Garcia celebrated their 50th anniversary last night. Yeah. Just go ahead and stand up. Yeah, yeah. It was beautiful. Louis, now it's illegal for you to marry a woman who was 10 years old when you got married, you know? So, because she does not look like she should be 50 years into marriage. You both look awesome. Yeah, we love you guys. And thank you so much. I want to say a big thank you to everybody that worked Vacation Bible School this week. We had so many volunteers and almost 70 kids that came out. And let me just tell you, it was so much fun. I love the theme this year that Christ has given us everything that we need to live a life of righteousness in this life. And so it was just an awesome day, awesome week this week. And I just want to say thank you to them. Just a few more things I'd like to talk about. Justin, the youth director here at Christ Church, was the guy playing the drums today, and he did an awesome job. Just let him know he did a great job. Yeah. We used to make a joke that you don't get hired here at Christ Church unless you can play an instrument or sing or something like that, but he's just talented on so many different levels. And the last thing I want to talk to you about for a few moments before I get to the message is I want to talk to you about the communion that's going to happen here at the end of the service. It's a little bit of a different communion service than maybe anything that you've ever gone to before. What's going to take place is at the end of this service, we're going to invite you to come down. If you're here with family, you'll be able to come down with family members, invite them to come down. If you're here just with friends, maybe you have friends from Christ Church, come down with those friends. If you're here by yourself, there are some times when you just want to go and have like a solitary time between you and God. You could come down to the table by yourself. But if not, you could come right down here, Pastor Tori, and at some point I'm going to come down to the tables also. And you'd be welcome to come and join me if you'd like to have a pastor to give communion to you today. We're going to invite you to do this. And so this is a term, and please don't take it as a term of disrespect, but it's family-style communion today. We're going to come to the Lord's table family-style and spend some time together. When you come to the table, we're going to be singing some praise and worship kind of in the background here. And when you come down to the table, this is going to be an opportunity for you to spend a few moments and to break the bread of Christ, have communion with yourselves, with your family. We're going to ask the head of the household possibly to serve communion to the family members. And then as you do that, we're going to ask you to pray over each other. And maybe there are times and seasons throughout the year when you wish you had said, I love you, where you wish you had said, that I think that you're great, that you're important, that God's going to bless you. And those moments kind of get away from you. While you're here at the table, this would be a great time for you to express love with each other, to speak blessings over each other. And so, guys, from Fresh Start, let me just talk to you. We're going to invite you to come down, not just to this table, but come through the tables. And Pastor Tori and Larry, they're going to help everybody to kind of keep the flow going through. But come in groups, come by yourself. If some of the leaders from Fresh Start want to come down and serve at some point or another. By the way, can I see the hand of the leaders from Fresh Start in the room today? Yeah, we don't. Give these guys a big hand. They do an awesome work. So we're going to welcome you guys to come, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're in your seats during this time, please don't leave, because this ends up being a reverent time. We're going to be doing some praise and worship. Just stay with us. If you have your Bible, you can open up and do some devotions during this time. Read some scripture. Maybe it's a good time for you just to meditate on the Lord. Maybe it's a time for you just to linger in God's presence and receive from Him just while you're in your seats during the praise and worship time. Over the years, this has been some of the most important things that we've ever done, and it's unusual, and it's kind of hard to even grasp at times what this is going to look like. But let me just tell you, some amazing things that have happened at these tables on Father's Day. And one of my favorite stories to tell about this was many years ago, there was a family that came to our church, and they were the wife, the mother had, they had several children, and she professed faith and her kids were young, but the father really didn't profess faith at all. And they convinced him to come to church with them on Father's Day. So we began to talk about this. And while we were singing at the end of the service, the presence of the Lord just filled the room and people's hearts were being filled with the presence of the Lord. And she wasn't going to say anything to him because she knew that he wasn't following Christ at all. And so they were just going to stay and just kind of sing the songs in their seats. And finally, he looked at her and he said, "Are you ready to go down there?" And she said, "Yes, are you ready to go down there?" And he said, "Yes." And that day he came down to the communion table and knelt down on his knees and gave his life to the Lord and stood up. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't hardly tell that without just stood up and served his family communion. And now, listen, every one of their four children are now in ministry today. Yeah. And so let me just tell you, we believe that God can bring healing to you, even bring healing to your family. And even if not here at the table, while you're lingering in his presence today. So that's a pretty extensive invitation to what this is all about, but it's going to be a great day. God has some great stuff ahead for you. Okay, well, today I'm just going to talk to you really briefly. And when I say briefly, I'm going to talk to you probably about 45 minutes and then we'll have, no. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. I want to read something to you and then I'm going to talk to you about something that's been on my heart for a while. And today seemed to be the perfect day to talk about this. Matthew, the 13th chapter, reading in the 57th verse. Speaking of Jesus, so they were offended at him. They were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So they were offended at him. They were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. He's honored, it seems, in every other place except in his own country, in his own home. And notice what it says next, and I don't think it's a coincidence what it says next. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now think about this. Jesus had just come from Capernaum where he was doing miracles. In fact, scripture actually says, everyone he touched there was healed. Many miracles took place in Capernaum. And yet then when he shows up here in Nazareth, there's something that takes place. They're offended at him, and here's what they're offended at. They're offended because they begin to grumble and complain. Isn't this just Joseph's boy? Who is he? Who does he think that he is? And the Bible says that they were offended at him, and they began to do what I'm going to call today, they dishonored him. In fact, I'm going to spend a few moments here today, and I want to talk to you about the principle of honor. The principle of honor versus dishonor. This principle can really affect your life. I've been taking a look in our society and in our generation today, and I have to tell you, I believe that this principle of honor is almost a forgotten principle. That we live in a generation today that it almost seems to be in vogue to be dishonoring. And in fact, the more critical you are, the more negative you are, the larger the audience you'll get. In fact, they're actually saying like some of the TV ratings that are great TV ratings, it's because of the negativity in the TV ratings. It's almost as though in our society that you can get a greater platform the more negative you are, the more dishonoring you are to other people. In fact, it seems to be almost like that if you're a comedian or if you're in entertainment or if you're a politician, the more you dishonor someone, the greater your platform will be. And I don't know if people consider themselves to be more smart. There's almost an arrogance that's involved in it, that when you begin to dishonor other people and speak down to other people and speak negatively about them, that when you do that, it in your own mind elevates you and puts you on a higher level than other people. And we know in so many places that's completely against the principles of Christ. When I was growing up, and I know I grew up in a different century. Think about that. I grew up at a time when we were taught to honor people's property. Like, you just didn't do violence to people's property because it belonged to them. They'd paid for it. We were taught to honor their property. We were taught to honor places. We were taught to honor teachers. Would have never thought about disrespecting a teacher. We were taught to honor people in authority. We were taught to honor mothers and fathers, grandparents, the elderly, just the elderly in general. It seems to me that we don't even honor the elderly. In fact, you're considered to be dismissible if you are elderly. We were taught to honor people in position. We were taught that you should honor those around you. And it seems to me, and I don't want to be over negative about this today, but it seems to me that we are just inundated with such dishonor in our society. And dishonor isn't just something that you say. Sometimes it's the way you do something. If you're asked to do something on a job and you accomplish the task, but if in the whole time you're accomplishing the task, you're doing the... You may get the work done, but the entire time you're doing that, you're dishonoring the people that employ you. You're dishonoring the people that are around you. And you can do something. You can even accomplish something, but your attitude will be an attitude of dishonor. It seems to me that there just seems to be a spirit about this. Parents in homes. Let me just talk for a few moments about homes. If you don't teach your children to honor people, if you don't teach your children to honor you, let me just prophesy what will take place. If you don't teach your children to honor you, then when they grow up, they won't know that there's going to be an authority in their life for the rest of their life, and there is going to be an authority in their life for the rest of their life. All of us are under authority to somebody. All of us have somebody that we have to answer to. And if you don't learn that principle in a home of honor, then what takes place is after you get out of the home, then you go to a job and you don't feel like you have to honor the people that employ you. And when you don't honor the people that employ you, I've seen so many people that they can't seem to find the right fit, and they always seem to have a bad boss or bad peers around them, and they can't ever seem to find a place where they belong. And sometimes I have to start to wonder, is it really that there are that many bad bosses and that many bad places in the world, or is it just somebody who can't really submit to somebody in authority because they were never really taught to honor somebody? So in our society today, it seems like this is kind of where we are. And if we're not careful, each of us will get to the place where we will take on this, I'm going to call it a spirit. I don't necessarily think it's a demonic spirit or some kind of a dark thing, but it's just an attitude. Like, it takes a hold of us, a spirit of dishonor. Listen to what it says here again in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Let me go back to that first passage. So they were offended at him. Why were they offended at him? They weren't offended at anything except for who he was. They were just simply offended that he was one of the boys from the neighborhood who was making good of himself, and they were offended at this. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor. And listen, are you ready? He could not do many mighty works there. Could it possibly be that the reason why we don't see amazing things happen in our lives, maybe the reason why we don't see more blessings come our way, is because somehow we've stopped up the flow of the blessings in our life because we're dishonoring? He could not do, honestly, I'm sure he could have overridden all of that, but he would not do many miracles there. He did no miracles. There was no display of the power of God. There was no display of the blessings of God, and it was based off of one thing. Are you ready? Yeah, it says unbelief, but their unbelief, it evidenced itself in dishonor. So sometimes I think that many times we can't figure out why we're not getting the job. I'm just going to go preach for a second. Why we're not getting the job, why we're not getting the promotion, why we're not getting ahead. And maybe it's simply because sometimes we just work and we live in schools, in communities, in our homes, in our environments. We create a place of dishonor. And the Bible says, like, great things. Even Christ couldn't overcome a community of dishonor. Think about this. This is God in flesh. God in flesh. He just did miracles somewhere else, and a spirit of dishonor kept the blessings of God from coming to that community. Okay. I see it in a lot of places. In our culture in general, it seems to be there, and it almost seems like we can create a lot of energy around negativity. We can create energy around negativity. In fact, it's easy to create energy about something negative. People do it all the time. We do it in the news. Whole news broadcasts are given to negativity. Everything that seems to get our attention anymore is about the negative stuff. And so here in our society, as far as I'm concerned, like, we're creating a culture of negativity. And when we're dishonoring and when we're negative about everything around us, and even if we don't say it, when we carry that attitude and we kind of manifest it through our, even our actions, what we're actually saying is, I'm better than you. I'm better than this. I'm superior to this. In fact, this whole thing really should revolve around me and around the way that I think. And you know what is at the core of that? Self is at the core of that. Flesh is at the core of that. And consequently, God can't bless that. And what we do is we push people away. And the only people that we will allow come near us, are you ready? The only people that we'll allow come near us are the people that will buy into our dishonoring attitude. So we become an island of dishonor, and you're like, well, you know, it's okay. At least I'll have some people there with me. But let me just tell you, in times of crisis, you're going to want to have some people there that are going to love you for the long term, not just those. You said, well, they showed up for me, and they were there for me. But in the long term, you know what you'll have to do to keep people around you, honestly? If that's the way you collect them, you will have to continue to create a culture of dishonor. You'll have to create crisis continuously in order to rally people around you, in order to keep that culture of dishonor and yourself at the center of it. Have you ever met anybody that's, it's just drama, drama, drama all the time? Can somebody say amen? You don't have to say their name out loud. Honestly, like, here's the deal is this. What they are doing, most likely, is they're creating a climate that draws attention to them. They're creating energy with drama. And that drama attracts something, and how they're going to have to keep that going, are you ready? Is by constantly dishonoring a new thing, finding a new thing to dishonor. Be careful if you're around somebody who it's just constant drama, because most likely it's a culture of dishonor. We see it in the ministry. In the ministry, and I have to tell you, we know that we have to keep the ministry accountable, and we're above everything. But let me just tell you, there's dishonor in the ministry today. There are people that are like, you just proved to me, and I'm not buying into anything. And I get this. We don't have to look far for this, though. But here's what it says. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive the prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. So there are a lot of times when somebody shows up and they have a gifting or they have a calling, and instead of us embracing them, what we do is we dishonor them. I don't like them. I don't know what about them I don't like, but I don't like them. I don't like the song. I don't like the way they sing. Did you see the way they stand on stage? I don't know. They talk too fast. They talk too slow. They talk too loud. They talk too soft. And what we do, are you ready? We begin to create in a church a culture of dishonor. In Nazareth, Jesus could do no mighty works because of the dishonor. It's not just there. It's in our political climate today. Let me just tell you very clearly, I'm not a big fan of all of the name-calling that's taken place in our society. I feel like it's just a culture of dishonor. And here's the interesting thing about that is there are some people in office that I really have absolutely no appreciation for their platform, but I would not ever speak about them in a dishonoring way. Because the Bible tells us really clearly that we have to be submitted to those that are over us in the community. Romans 13, chapter in the first verse says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So are you ready? Listen, I'm just going to preach it as clearly as I can today. There are folks who did not like the last administration, and they spoke about President Obama in an extremely dishonoring way. And you might not like his policies, but let me just tell you, you still have to honor him as your president. He ain't my president. Yes, indeed, he is your president, and that's an attitude of dishonor. So I don't like Trump at all. I don't like him at all. He ain't my president. Yes, he is your president, and if you speak about him in that way, let me just tell you, it's an attitude of dishonor. You don't have to like his policies. You don't even have to like him as a person. Let me just tell you, there are a lot of things that take place that you should have an opinion about it, but how you say it and the culture you create with it will determine if we are a culture of dishonor. And you might say, well, they're all dishonoring. They dishonor people. They dishonor each other. They dishonor so-and-so, and so I'm just going to talk the way they talk. That makes you a person who has birth from their spirit. So we can't afford to buy into dishonor. Okay. You might say, well, I work for a boss. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. And somebody says, thank you, Jesus. But here we go. You might work for a boss. You might work for somebody, honestly, who doesn't have the intelligence that you do. Sometimes, and let's just be honest about it. Sometimes your boss isn't as bright as you are. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 26th verse says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Are you ready? The wise are not called, the noble are not called, the smart people may not be in position, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things of the mighty. God might put somebody over you on your job to see if you will create a culture of honor or dishonor for somebody who might not be as gifted as you are. It could be a test, because God appoints people, and sometimes they're not the most qualified. They're not the most pretty. Be mindful that God has you on assignment. Listen, I understand this very well, that honor is not mindless agreement. But you still have to honor people, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to close here. There's a place in the Old Testament where, think about this. There's a mom in the Old Testament who has three children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. She gives birth to the first prophet. She gives birth to the first priest. She gives birth to the first praise and worship leader. And so these three are leading the children of Israel. And then there's a place where Moses marries an Ethiopian woman, a woman who doesn't look like him, a woman of a different color, a woman of a different ethnic background. And Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, begin to And the Bible says God heard them. God heard them, and here's what he does. He says to them, meet me outside the tent of meeting. Okay, this is an interesting statement to me. Do you know what he's actually saying? God's like, we normally meet in my presence. Meet me in the parking lot. And here's one of the reasons why I think God was going to deal with this is because he recognized in them the same dishonoring spirit that Lucifer had in heaven that dishonored him as God, that caused Lucifer to be cast out. God does not like this spirit of dishonor. There's one more attitude that I'm going to give to you, and here's the one you might say, well, they're just not honorable. They're not honorable. In Genesis, the ninth chapter, the Bible tells us after being shut up in a boat for 40 days and 40 nights, verse number 21, Genesis, the ninth chapter, Moses, he drank some wine and became drunk. And let me just tell you, I'm not endorsing drunkenness by any means. But if you were shut up with your family in a room for 40 days and 40 nights and every animal on the planet, not justifying it, but I'm just saying. Okay, so he laid naked, uncovered outside of his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. He sees his father and he goes outside and said, disgusting. He's drunk and naked. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders, and they walked in backwards and covered their father's naked body so their faces would not see him. They walked in backwards. Are you ready? Even though he was shameful in his action and shameful in the way he was laying there, they would not dishonor him. And I want to read one last verse here. When it came down to giving out the blessings, here's what happens in verse number 25. Then Noah says, cursed be Canaan, son of servants. He shall be to his brothers. There's a curse. When you begin to dishonor somebody, even if they're dishonorable, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Like, we ought to offer grace to one another. We ought to find a way for us to honor people and at least not to dishonor them. So in your families, let me just talk to you for these last few moments, and we're going to come for a time of worship. Deuteronomy says, honor your fathers and mothers. Honor your fathers and mothers that you will live long in the land that God has given you. You might say, well, I didn't have an honorable father. God knew that you had to be born. You might say, I didn't have an honorable mother. God knew that you had to be born. Are you ready? Let me just talk for a second about DNA. They say that DNA is basically mathematical equations. Before you were born, the Bible tells us that God created you, that he knew you, assigned days to you, assigned works to your life, that there was going to be something that you would accomplish in this life, and you had to be put together the way you are in order for you to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. So if you are, say, number 102 in DNA, I'm just using a crazy random number, 102, that he was going to have to find two people that would come up with the exact number that would create you. It wasn't random. God knew you before you were born. And so even in DNA, he was assigning somebody. And they might not have been a good parent. They might not have been somebody that stayed with you. But let me just tell you, they were assigned of God so that you would be born. And now you would be able to accomplish God's work in this world. So even at that, God assigned them. You should honor them, that God put them in your life so you could be created and accomplish the work of God. Honor all people. 1 Peter, the second chapter, says, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So today I'm going to challenge you. Will you honor each other? Will you speak honorably, not to dishonor, but to honor? We're going to invite you to come to the tables in these next few moments. We're going to ask you to honor people, say thank you. This might be the place where you give an opportunity to give gratitude to somebody that you needed to say it to, but you've not said it. place to honor somebody that you've just not really honored them the way they should have been, but this would be a great place to do that. So in these next few moments, I'm going to pray, and we're going to start to sing some worship and then invite you a group at a time. You can stay seated until, like, people, the tables will start to clear, and some are going to form in lines down the aisle, but just come. This is kind of organic for these next few moments, and we're just going to come into the presence of God. Will you just pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we welcome you. We welcome your presence here today, and we honor you as Lord of all. Lord of our homes, Lord of our lives. Lord, will you just come into this place now and fill our hearts with you? Release the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you want to accomplish in this world and in this room and in our lives today as we worship you.